Hi, this is Barry J.
And this is Jash from the podcast Radio QRM.
And you're listening to Michael, the virtual Youper.
He's a Youper?
Yep.
What's a Youper?
I think it's some kind of secret society or something. You know, like the Illuminati.
Oh, so they secretly rule the world.
Well, maybe just the Midwest.
And hey, welcome to the podcast that's never been heard, at least not recently. This is Michael, Virtual Youper, checking in for Candop 2025. So, I've had a few unpleasant surprises tonight. I definitely wanted to get an episode out, and as I sat down to do it, I found out a couple things. First of all, Backpack Studio is not accepting my external microphone on my iPhone anymore, not with the current version of iOS. And it could just be a issue with my iPhone. Let me turn that down just a little bit more there. But anyhow, I think it's an iOS issue probably, because when I went to my iPad, which is an older iPad and an older version of iOS, it no longer updates. Backpack Studio seems to be working fine, if not slow, on the iPad. So that's what we're recording on. The other thing that I was kind of surprised to find, since I haven't done an episode since early December of last year, was that when I went back to go listen to what I talked about, just so I, you know, wasn't saying the same things episode after episode, even though they're over a year apart, everything's broken. Server's good. Files are on the server. But when I try to recall old episodes of the show, I'm getting invalid audio format. And no, my papers are in order. The file format is correct. What I suspect has happened is I hand code my RSS feeds, and I have since the beginning back in 2005, December. So this is 20 years I've been doing this. And I kind of kept it the same way, even though I know FeedBurner was going its own way a couple years ago. They were keeping the legacy stuff going, and I really didn't want to change the RSS feed format to the show. So although I was hand-coding my own RSS feeds, I would still submit them to FeedBurner, because originally all of the episodes that I put out on Virtual Youper and Youpercast and this one, the podcast that shall not be named, and that other secret podcast. Yeah, you'll have to message me if you want the feed for that. Among other things, they were all going through FeedBurner. I'm not sure about the other one. I think the other one I did direct. But and I know I could do a direct feed. I just didn't want to change the way things were done over the last 20 years. I did register my feeds on Apple. I'm not sure Apple's working right, correct either. You know what I mean. And they has switched. I have submitted the feeds to RSS 2.0. So it should be working. But the other thing that may have happened is that since I've been hand coding my RSS feeds forever, I may not be following the proper standards anymore. I did help some friends update their RSS feeds probably about 2 years ago now. But mine had been working, so if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Anyhow, this is the 2025 Candop episode for December 1st, although I am recording that on Sunday evening, November 30th. And oh my, the recovery from the accident continues. And that's probably all you've been hearing for the last 2.5 years. I did have to have the leg operated on again this past summer. Actually, the problem showed up back in, I think, January of this year. Might have even been December of 2024 when I had a follow-up when my primary care said, hey, wait a minute, we still see that you have a pain level of anywhere from 1 to 3, like all the time. And I said, yeah. And they looked at my files and they said, oh, wait a minute, do you have a really high pain tolerance? Maybe we should get a CT. So after, you know, at that point, it was 1.5 years into it, they took a CT of my leg, and lo and behold, one of the bones had never healed. As a matter of fact, it you could drive a semi, at least a small matchbox one, between the two ends. on the fibula, the plate that they had put in there. I won't go into too many details, but basically the hardware holding it all together was not doing a good job. The screws were shearing off at the top of the heads, and I basically had shrapnel inside the leg. And without the hardware holding everything together so the bone would heal, it wasn't healing. So I was walking on a broken bone. The tibia did heal, otherwise I wouldn't have been walking around. But hence, it did explain the pain. So had CT done, and the x-rays weren't showing what was going on because of all the hardware in there. The hardware was interfering with the x-rays. So once they were able to look past the hardware with the CT, they were like, oh, there's your problem. So I had to follow up with orthopedics, and the hospital said, yeah, normally we'd say, let's, you know, wait and see how this goes, but now that we see your CT, do not collect $200, or do not pass go, do not collect $200, go directly to. And the surprise was, go to the other hospital. We can't fix it here. Now, there are two main hospitals up here, and there was an orthopedist that used to be at the hospital where I was originally treated, and I'm not knocking that hospital at all. The care has been fantastic. And the original orthopedic surgeon had to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. So it's not a huge surprise to me that there were more problems. But when the additional problems showed up, they said, yeah, you need to go see this doctor at this hospital. Or, and your workers' comp claims will probably want you to go to Duluth and a couple other places for second opinions. But we have very high confidence in this other doctor, and you should go see him. Don't be surprised. He's a podiatrist, but he does everything. Okay. And went over to see the other doctor. He took a look at the CT and said, oh yeah, no, this you need like immediate surgery. Now, remember, this was January, February now. By the time all the paperwork in the hospitals, and it wasn't workers' comp or the other things holding things up, but by the time everything got done, that immediate surgery didn't happen until June 12th of this summer. I would have much rather had it happen in January, February, because I was laid up all summer. I would have rather been laid up all winter and spring and then been active again, you know, doing my PT and getting up and moving again in the spring and being functional, at least some sort of functional once the summer hit again. But no, they basically had to go in, take all the hardware out, re-break the leg, redo everything, do a bone graft with stem cells. But I will say that this doctor is a wizard. As I said, the other hospital said, yeah, you're probably going to need to get second opinions and such. And workers' comp took a look at this guy's credentials and said, nope, we don't need a second opinion. He is authorized to do whatever he wants to do as long as he gets going on it and gets it done. And in the end, it was workers' comp that got the hospital off the fence and moving again. Because as I said, the doctor wanted to do the surgery in February when he saw me. He said, oh, this has got to get fixed right away. So it took a while to get the wheels moving. And it was a full wash down, lather, rinse, repeat situation with my leg. Except that now I didn't have both bones broken, just the fibula, that was recovering this time. The first time was both bones were broken. But it was a longer recovery. He was very conservative about it. Absolutely no weight on the leg for some time. Matter of fact, they didn't even take the stitches out for 4 weeks, 3 weeks. It was a long time. Longest I've ever had stitches in at one point, and I was dying to get them out by the time they did take them out. But then, yeah, surgery, back to the wheelchair, then back to a walker, then back to crutches and a walking boot, and then a walking boot with a knee scooter. Eventually got back to just into the walking boot alone. I think sometime in, when was it? I think September. Yeah, I think it took to September before I was just off the knee scooter completely and back to just the walking boot. And sometime in late September, early October, I think, is when they finally said, you don't need the walking boot anymore, but now you're going to have a leg brace that you can probably be wearing the rest of your life. So that's the leg side of things. Still in PT, I am still working on the exercises and getting back up to where I was a year ago. But the big difference is immediately, right after the surgery, I had full motion in the leg again. Just incredible difference. He completely rebuilt it. Yeah, Dr. Broadbeck, you just add the Steve Austin noises now and make him better than he was before. Well, better than I was before the second surgery anyhow. Yeah, it's amazing. I did the motion and everything else. It's going to take me a while, though, to get the strength back. Especially, it's coming back slower this time, and I think it's because I was on absolutely no weight-bearing at all for most of the summer. He really wanted to let things settle in there and start to heal in place before I started putting weight on it again. I remember waking up from the surgery and the surgeon standing in front of me with a Ziploc bag. It's like a mechanic when you go to pick up your car. He's like, here's your old parts. He had taken all the titanium out that it was originally put in by the first hospital. He had to take all that out and put in all new titanium and in different places because, as I said, the screw heads were shearing off the screws and stuff, and those, they figured it was going to cause more damage to try to get the screws out of the leg than to just drill new holes and put new hardware in. So that's what they did. So I even have more hardware in the leg now than I did before. Yay. But as those who have been following along, that's only part of the equation. Still recovering from the TBI concussion. You know, in the beginning, they didn't even realize they had a concussion. It didn't even come up until they were ready to discharge me from the hospital. And I said, you know, you guys addressed this double vision at all? And they're like, the what? I said, the double vision. I can, you know, you could think, I see things so far apart, you can drive a semi between them. And they're like, oh. Well, as you know from the last episode, the double vision did resolve itself to the point after about 5 months that by the time January... Well, actually, that was after... that was two times ago. Two episodes ago. Oh, yeah, time flies. After 5 months, the double vision had resolved to the point where the Secretary of State was okay with me getting my driver's license back again and driving. But some things have improved. I think sometime after the last episode, so after CANDOP 2024 and after the Christmas episode I did after that, sometime late December, I started recognizing friends again because I went almost a year and a half not recognizing people I know. If I didn't know you were going to be there and I ran into you on the street, I didn't know who you were. Still happens to me a little bit, not like it did though. It was back then it was very embarrassing because people would walk in and see me at the general store all the time and say, hi, Mike, and I'd have to go, I'm sorry, I have no idea who you are. And if they were aware of the accident, they understood right away. They were seasonal people coming into the harbor. They were very confused, and then somebody else would take them aside and explain, or I'd explain to them and say, yeah, I know who you are knowledge-wise, but as far as recognizing your face, pretty good at recognizing voices. You know, once I could hear them speak enough, I could generally know who it was, but just totally blank. And it still happens. Not as much as it was. It was a daily thing there for about a year and a half. But when I get tired, I have trouble recognizing people. I have a family member. Still bothers me to this day. I never remember her face anymore. We have family gatherings. I go into the room, say hi to her. As soon as I walk out of the room, no memory of the face at all. And if I didn't know it was her in the room, I wouldn't know who she was. It's just one of those situations, and I'm not sure that one's going to change. Yeah, I didn't mean for this episode to be entirely about my health update, but I guess that's kind of what it's going to be. Cognitively, I'm good for about 4 to 5 hours of activity a day. The employer's like, well, you can do 4 or 5 hours of work a day. And I say, well, I try to do that, but activity a day means being up, feeding the animals, washing dishes, driving, this being up and about is activity. And generally after 4 or 5 hours, I need to lay down and sleep for a while. I don't always have that luxury, but that's kind of how I have to plan my days. I'm working on a second wind tonight, actually, because I was pretty much devastated as far as Backpack Studio not working, RSS feed not working, things just in general not working, and I'm like, oh man, I might even be able to do anything about CanDop. I don't know if I'll have the RSS feed working by tomorrow, but thank you, Ken. I appreciate you reminding me that I can just put a direct link to the episode and put it up on the Podcast Emporium page, which is what I will do. So at least I know, for those who want to hear this episode, you'll be able to find it. I've been wanting to do episodes all along, but it takes so much energy for me to get through the day that by the time the evening rolls around, it's hard for me to sit down and type a direct message to somebody, whether it's on Facebook Messenger or X, or even replying to emails. It just takes so much concentration. It's hard to explain, but it hurts to think. And it's not exactly the right term, but it's about the closest thing I can think of. It reminds me of medic shifts where I've been on duty for 2 or 3 days straight, and I just reach a point where I've hit the brick wall. Well, except now the brick wall hits after 4 or 5 hours. So when I can, I'll come back home during the day, I'll take an hour or two nap, and then I'll get back at it for a while. But I'm certainly not the night medic that I used to be, or the night owl, period. A lot of times I'm in bed by 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, and then I just crash for the evening. All these things I hope will improve over time, but it's 2.5 years now, so I guess we'll see. Sense of taste, a lot of these things that I'm dealing with, I seem to be compensating for cognitively until I tire out. There have been a couple of times in the last year where I've gotten tired enough that the double vision has come back to the point where my wife has had to drive me home. And the sense of taste gets better and worse depending on how stressed I am. But there are some things that are just definitely gone that I really enjoyed. Local restaurant here in town called The Mariner. And they make it just a real, well, they make a lot of really good dishes, but once in a while I really would have a taste for one of their Reuben sandwiches. I can't taste corned beef at all anymore. Zip, zero. I would have, if you handed me a corned beef sandwich and I didn't know it was a corned beef sandwich by looking at it or, you know, otherwise, and just eating it and tasting it, basically all I can taste is the Thousand Island dressing or the mustard, depending which way you make it. No idea that's corned beef. And it's just hit or miss. There's not one particular range of things that are gone. It's just specific tastes that are gone, which can make things really interesting. And I know I've talked about this in past episodes over the years, but there's only been so many episodes put up since I had the accident, so I'm sorry I'm repeating myself, even though it's been over several years. But a lot of times when you take one ingredient out of a recipe that you can't taste anymore, it really makes the recipe taste weird. So everything is a new experience. There's just a lot of things I'll eat now just because I need nutrition, but I really can't taste. And there are things I can taste. It's not like I've lost all my sense of taste, so I'm very thankful for that. Just a lot of the things that were my favorites, I really can't taste anymore. I still make them for my family, like the Thai curries and stuff. Some of them I taste more than others. None of them taste the way they used to me. But apparently I can still make them to the point where I got really good at writing down ingredients and measures and stuff during the pandemic, and I'm very thankful for that because I was always I cooked to taste person before that. And I would have lost all of that if I hadn't started writing recipes down. Now I've gotten pretty good at looking things up online and knowing what probably would taste good and going with those recipes and using their measurements. And so I'm still doing a lot of cooking. Just that I can't trust my own taste buds on anything I'm making, so I rely very heavily on feedback from what I'm making, whether I should make it again. Interesting thing is, though, sense of smell is pretty normal. There's some dead spots there, too, but for the most part, I can smell what I'm cooking. Yeah, I'm sure there's a saying there somewhere. So what else? I've really lost touch with a lot of friends I haven't met to, but it takes so much energy to get through the day that I'm not spending a lot of time catching up on things otherwise that I should be and normally would be. Barry, sorry. I mean, the last time we exchanged until recently, I think, was on that Signal that we used to leave audio messages back and forth on Signal. That doesn't work for me anymore. I really need to interact directly with people, not time delayed, because it just, it's not working for me at the moment. Hopefully it will again in the future. But I think about all of you. I know Mark has moved. Cool to see the updates. Barry's moved. I'm still in the same place. And I'm not traveling much. As a matter of fact, my wife is down visiting family for Thanksgiving. I'm not up to the trips. Hopefully again someday. Really missed the gatherings and in the podcast community up in Toronto and Hamilton and out in Montreal. Yes, Kathy, Chris and I still want to come out and see you. Although you're moving too, so we're going to have to find out where you're going to and see if we can visit you there. Now I'm meandering, but I'm going to keep at it. We just had a pretty good blizzard here. It's not an unusual thing. This neck of the woods, this was a worse than normal storm, not in the amount of snow, but the winds and the weight of the snow. Wasn't a nice storm, but it was still heavy enough snow that the weight of the power lines were snapping utility poles throughout the Keweenaw. Trees were down all over the place. Power was out for almost 2 days for many of the residents up here. We do have a whole house generator here, although I have not hooked it up to the propane tank yet, so I'm running it off of gas, which is a little less convenient and a little more stressful because the gas station here in town is only open on weekends right now. He did open up on Thanksgiving so that we could come refill, the residents could come and refill their gas cans. As I said, power poles, trees came down all over the place. One of those trees came down on the bed of my wife's truck and crushed it. I think the truck is still drivable, sort of. I wouldn't leave the harbor because I don't think there's anything left holding the bed to the frame. So if you get going fast enough, it would rip right off the vehicle. I can't tell if the truck moves or not because that is an absolute no-no for me. I can handle the clutch on my 97 Jeep Wrangler, just handle it. It's a little uncomfortable. It's the left leg that had the surgery on it. I'm much better off with my son's Subaru Crosstrek. That's a very easy clutch to manage. But I have switched the work truck. Yeah, the work truck was coming up on 400,000 miles, and the employer was getting really nervous about that. I'm sorry to see it go. I really like that truck. But my mechanic bought it. He's really happy. And I have purchased a used Subaru Outback with an automatic transmission, at least for now. It makes things a little easier for me since I'm having trouble clutching. But getting back to my wife's truck, that's got a Cummins diesel in it, and it's got a really stiff clutch you got to stand on. And after Mark and I chainsawed, Mark did all the chainsaw work this time, but after we cut the tree off the truck and moved it off, I got in it, and you have to push the clutch in before the starter will engage, and it took all I could do to get the clutch to the floor enough and just long enough to start it and then release it in neutral and just let it sit there and idle. But I won't be driving that truck anywhere. I was able to drive it. It was painful, but I was able to drive it before the second surgery, but I don't have enough leg strength right now to do that. So, we're kind of reaching a point where we're going to have to start moving out vehicles again because my wife's truck has got 425,000, somewhere around there. It could be plus or minus a few thousand miles, but that one's at around 425,000. It needs, as I said, a truck bed. should need some other body work. I mean, it's getting older, it's getting rusty, but the frame and the drivetrain and everything is solid on that vehicle. And what for what new vehicles cost these days, we'll put body parts on this one. The 97 Jeep has developed a habit of just stopping, just quitting. And it's not throwing any codes is the frustrating part. So I'm still trying to diagnose what the problem is. But I had been driving that thing all over the place while I was looking for another vehicle. But it died going up the hill out of the harbor last week. And after it sat long enough, again, I was able to contact my son, Mark, who lives locally. David lives further down the UP there. But Mark came up and helped me get the car turned around. At least it's a big hill. And I was able to get the engine started, and we coasted it down the hill, and I got it back home. And I'm going to drive it around the harbor until I figure out what the problem is, because if it stops in the harbor, I just pull it off to the side of the road and walk the rest of the way of wherever I need to go. But I don't think I'm going to be putting much more money in this Jeep either. So it's getting to be time to start changing out the fleet. There is a... feel free to bail out anytime you want. There is a barn story. I've talked about barn stories before in one of the cars that I bought. But I was on a service call this summer. This is while I was still on crutches, actually. But somebody was having trouble down the shoreline. Guy's father had passed away almost 2 years ago now. But he and his wife were up... working on the house and starting to clean things out. And he's about my age. So, you know, we're both retired and just keeping things going. And he said, yeah, there's a problem with the internet. And I said, yeah, if I remember right, it's in the barn here and the barn's full of vehicles. And he goes, yep, the barn is definitely still full of vehicles. And he said, and I'm selling them all if you want any of them. And I said, well, actually my son's looking for a car, but open up the barn. And I never really had paid attention to what was in there. But, when he opened up the garage, I call it a barn, but it's big garages up here we call barns. He opened up the garage, and the first thing I saw was a 2002 Toyota Solera convertible. Mint condition. His father probably was in his early 70s when he bought this car, and Florida resident. So everything was down in Florida, and it only came up couple times a year, and then it was during the winter, it was stored inside. So this thing has been stored inside for like 10 years. Not a speck of rust on it or the other vehicle next to it. There are three vehicles. One vehicle needs a little bit of work, but anyhow, this mint convertible, and I thought, not exactly what my son's looking for, but it's a Toyota, it's in really good shape. If he got this vehicle, he probably would be set for some time if he took care of it. So I asked the gentleman what price he was looking for it, and he said, well, it'd be this much. And I said, well, yeah, I think that's pretty reasonable. I said, I'm going to tell my son about it and have him get in touch with you, and he'll come up and take a look at it if he's interested. Well, Mark at first was like, well, I don't know. But then he went to go look at it, and he went to go talk to the gentleman who was selling it, and he must have left a good impression because he was originally talking $6,000 for this car, which had less than 100,000 miles on it. And as I said, mint condition, no rust. And when he got done talking to Mark, he offered it to Mark for $4,000, which is, I mean, to me, it's still a lot of money. Cripe, when I was a teenager, you could buy a brand new vehicle for that kind of money from the showroom floor. But yeah, $4,000 for a Toyota today. Yeah, that's a good deal. So, Shaggy Dog story, a little shorter. Yes. That vehicle was added to our fleet, and that's what Mark was driving up until the blizzard. Now it's going to be parked and driving his Subaru again so that the winter wear doesn't go on the convertible. But also in this barn was a 1995 E150 Ford van with a V8 in it. Again, it's a 95, but no rust. Again, really, really well taken care of. This guy was a retired Ford automotive engineer. And one of my friends here in town wound up buying that because it was set up for camping from the factory. Four captain's chairs up front, third row seating, and the third row seating folds down into a full-size bed, and a comfortable full-size bed. So it's really nice vehicle. My friend is traveling to pick up supplies for her shop over the winter. I think it's a good match. So she wanted to buy in that. The third vehicle, the oldest, but actually the most, has the most value. And again, was sold to a family member of mine for a very low cost because he wanted to get things, first of all, cleared out, and second of all, going to a place that wanted them. And it is a 1973 VW Thing. And again, fully functional. I think he was the only owner, his father, I mean. And he was in the process of refurbishing it. So it was in good shape to begin with, but it had boxes and boxes and boxes of brand new chrome parts. New carburetors, new exhaust systems, new everything is just all set to go. And my relative is into building cars. So actually right now that's getting prepped by a mechanic friend of mine so that, because this is going out of state, but it's getting prepped so that it starts and the brakes and everything are all functional, because it's much easier to move something when it runs and stops and it can be maneuvered even though I'm moving it by truck. So that work's getting done right now on that vehicle. So I wound up selling three vehicles for this guy. And he's happy. My son's happy. Hopefully my relatives will be happy when they get their car. But I wound up being a used car dealer for a while without even trying. Okay, I really just got off on another tangent again. So where are we at then? Probably got a lot more interesting things to say, but I continue on with my life. I'm working to get back to normal, whatever normal is. I'm retired, so I think I've earned the right to take a nap whenever I need it. Still doing, I did get my paramedic license back. That had happened before the last episode, so I'm probably talked about that. I'm not making runs at the moment other than local first responder calls, and those have been for everything from heart attacks to people falling off of waterfalls to you name it. So I'm still handling advanced life support items. I am not pulling shifts. I don't think I ever will pull a shift again. I don't think my health will support that. But I have been cleared by a psychiatrist who is a trauma specialist. And through cognitive testing, who continue to be in the field, they feel confident that I'm still able to function as a paramedic, which was important to me because I didn't want to be in the field if they didn't think I was capable of doing that. Couldn't tell from the amount of rambling around I'm doing, can you? Okay, I'll try to get another episode out too, and maybe make it a little more interesting, but that's a little bit of background on what's been going on since the last year when I checked in. Really like to figure out what's going on with this RSS feed and find out why everything is broken. So I'm going to look at that tomorrow, but I'm going to call it a day today. Today being Sunday night. You'll hear this Monday. No, excuse me. Again, I miss all my podcasting friends and family. Hope to start meeting up with you guys again soon. Yeah, now I'm blanking on it. I know there was a last gathering for the pub and restaurant that we used to gather at before PodCamp Toronto every year. They closed a week or two ago, and I should know the name, but it's blanking. As soon as I hang up this microphone, it'll come back, and my listeners are all screaming at me right now going, yes. Thought I heard rumors that the Only was going to close too, but I still see lots of posts from the Only, so I'm hoping to get back there and at least be able to catch up with people at the Only in Toronto. Okay, I have rambled enough. Let's shut down Moondance here. And somebody else has probably played this recently, but been on my mind a lot. Heard from Kathy last week. And I thought a fitting way to and my, at least hopefully this is not the only one, but at least if it is, then this canned episode is to play the song that Mark Blev has got going for Bob. Still think of Bob every time there's a canned op. And you too, Mark. of course. But here's a copy of Father Robert for you guys to listen to. Hope you're all doing well. I'm moving along and hopefully getting better day by day. I'll catch you guys later. Take care. Bye.
Here we'll go. I'll start playing the music on the iPod. I've got the iPod, my headphones, my mic set up. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, so like I got an email from my friend Mark asking me if I want to participate in this great birthday song, and I said, yeah, of course, let's do it.
Only for Bob would I do fucking shit like this.
It's 9 o'clock on a Saturday.
The family's safe in their beds.
There's a young man
in his studio
wearing something called cans on his head.
He says, son, blinky lights, they inspire me.
And compression, it makes me sound hot.
I was one of the first.
I'm still quenching that thirst.
The rest of the pioneers are not.
I am not doing la la la.
La la la.
La la, dee 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 da da da.
Give us a show, Father Robert.
Make our iTunes come alive.
You made the scene, mixing mics and routine.
It's been fun since the day you arrived.
Kenneth the Bob
is a friend of mine.
When he's high,
he goes on about his luck.
And he leans in to claim
that Bob gave him his name.
And for no known reason, adds
fuck.
Listen, comes a voice of another.
The aspect of Bob as a mensch.
Is he'd rather do with others
what he can do by himself.
And he'll do it in English and French.
I'm not doing the la la la, I just told you that.
La la la, da da da, da da da.
Now Julian's a trust agent novelist.
Who hasn't settled down with a wife.
He swears like a jailer.
He's tattooed like a sailor.
Podcasting made them friends for life.
And the waitress looks at Bob kinda crazy.
As the businessmen feel increasingly ill.
Yes, they're sharing a drink they call monetize.
And podcasting won't pay their bill.
This is some emotional piano playing here.
Bob, pour your soul in an MP3.
Opening your door to your friends. And you'll never pot fade, you're still in the parade. We can't wait for the next show you send.
a pretty good crowd for a boat cruise.
The community holds up their beers,
'cause they've waited a year
to be gathered right here,
and they can't use their mics for a while.
'Cause the enginex screws up recordings,
and the music isn't safe for the web.
If it wasn't for Bob, we poor early stops
wouldn't fear for night like celebs.
Not singing the last, go ahead.
Bob, Mark Levis is a very, very bad friend.
Sure, man.